You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast, counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture, one top five at a time. And now, here are the Two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Followers?
Loyal? We have loyal followers now?
Probably not.
Oh,
we
so
probably
excited.
Have. What I should have said is, what's up, two people that accidentally clicked on this link?
How are you?
Welcome. We're so glad you found us.
Let's say something interesting before they turn it off.
So, what do you think of the... No, I'm not going to try to do that. We used to do that.
We
used to be our old show.
Yeah, man.
Gerald is here.
Andy is in La Casa.
And what are we doing here? We're doing two peas, Andy.
Yes. I'm a pea.
You're every
a pea.
Month.
Everyone's a pea.
Now, listen, my dude here, Andy.
My man.
Is my boy, right?
And, I'm your boy.
And we've been tight
Thank
for
you.
A few years now.
Thank you.
And in all honesty, for new listeners, we get together once a month, him and I.
Yes.
And we count down top five lists in the world of pop culture.
Top!
Culture. Whether it's movies, music, TV,
newspaper articles.
Sports, maybe.
Today
although
is top
we haven't
five
done
New York Times articles.
And they're gone.
I'm just kidding. Don't leave.
We're kidding. We're not doing that one. What are we doing today?
We're doing top five movie villains. Villains from movies.
Say it in a sinister voice.
We're doing top five movie villains.
There it is. Now, let me ask you, because people are going to blow us the fuck up.
This are
was
they?
Actually recommended by a few different fans on our Facebook
were
fan
they?
Page.
Hearing and you, they're like, I bet this guy likes darkness.
They heard our superhero
people who want
episode, and they were like, why don't you guys do a movie villains to kind of go along with that? So we kind of are.
Yes.
We've jumped over a month because in February, we wanted to do romantic comedies.
Because we're very romantic.
And we are. Of course, we have romance flowing through our veins here.
Veins of romance.
Maybe you do. I don't. I'm a very cynical individual.
But anyway. You're romantically cynical.
Not really.
Some of my villains today are romantically
that's
cynical.
That's nice. If you say that, that's nice. But so anyway, movie villains. But I want to say, I want to preface it, and I want to see, because obviously we don't share our list with each other.
No, we don't.
I went,
my
you know,
list isn't a,
I went
isn't
cinematic.
A locked case.
I went cinematic, and I got to be honest, let me pull it up just to make sure I don't lie to you.
Okay.
Yeah, there's only one, what would be considered superhero villain in my top five.
Yes.
I didn't want to put a bunch of comic book
I
villains
could
in
have.
My top five.
I left
oh,
it
absolutely.
To two. I left it to two for very different reasons. I have two general genres of why these characters. One is character, one is actor.
Okay.
Some of my villains are actor-driven, meaning the actor made this part. Some of
That's
my villains
true.
Are character-driven, meaning I love this character.
That's true.
So, but honestly, I only have two in my top five that are what we would consider superhero villains, which I mean, when you think about what a villain is, of course, superheroes come up because those are the archetypes of heroes and villains, but... As I started to think about the movies I've loved, and I'm not like you. I don't like do a lot of research. I just think in my head and my brain.
You're definitely not like me.
So I just think. And when I started thinking back to the movies I've loved, I came across some really cool villains.
Yeah, me
so
too.
So I was surprised at how many I came up with.
Me too. And you know, I've talked about this on the show before. Actually, when Michael was here, we talked about
Michael.
This. And that may have been the first time you found out about that. But yeah. I was a movie critic back in the day about 7-8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I used to write movie reviews for
Ebert
blog.
And Gerald.
Exactly, yeah. And we used to do top 10 lists.
Yeah.
And they would say, hey, Gerald, why don't you put together a top 10 list? And I did top 10 movie villains.
You've done
then.
This before?
Yeah, I did that back
Dude,
then.
Dude, you did this.
But it's changed. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Because that was in 2010-ish.
So how many out of your top 10 are still in your top 10? Because I know you like to make a 10 list. So how many are in your top 10? Cats are jumping on
what
us.
What the hell is with my cat?
You're not very nice to your cat. Your cat's up on the table and you just knocked them off.
Guys, you just missed it. This might be edited out. I don't know. Yeah. But if not, I mean, my cat just fucking attacked.
Well, he wants to
he
talk
didn't
about
like my
villains.
List. He can see my list. He's like, this is bullshit.
Now, how many of your top 10 repeated?
Let's see. I'm going to tell you right now.
You so tell me one, right now.
Two.
Okay.
Three.
Okay.
Three out of five are the same as they were in 2010.
Of your top five?
Yep.
Okay.
Of my top five.
Wow.
Now,
okay.
I... there's some that were actually in my top 10 that have gotten moved around. One of them got bumped up into my top 5 now because I've seen that movie a couple more times since then.
Interesting.
But, you know, I don't know. It's just, I forget. We talked about our memories earlier because yes. Andy doesn't bring a list over and he remembers all his movies. And I have to have 10 pages of notes to remember anything. Yeah. And I still forget. I'm reading it. And I still
hello, know. This is, let's see here, Two Peas in a Podcast. My name is, hold on, my name is Gerald.
Slim Shady. All right, so let's do it. You want to do it?
I'm excited.
I'm excited. So
I love villains. I know we talk about heroes too, a lot, man. But you can't have a good hero without a good villain.
You got to have that mirror.
The villains, brother. I think villains teach us so much about life, the dark side of life. And villains are great.
I'm going to get deep for one second.
You'd get deep.
Look, we all have a little hero and we all have a little villain in us, brother.
Are you saying there's a yin?
And a Jung. Absolutely. Long-time listeners will get that joke. No one else will. And everyone else is tuned out, let's be honest. Okay. All right, so you want to get us started. So top five movie villains. Now, just to be specific.
Be specific.
We're not limiting it to comic book or superhero villains.
No, we're not.
Okay.
And we didn't get into TV. There's some good TV villains out there.
We could do that list, too.
But no, we're doing cinematic movie villains.
So they would be considered the antagonist. The antagonist in these films.
That's a big word for you.
It is. I don't know what it means. I hope it's right. Antagonist. I think that could be some kind of disease of some kind. I think it's a villain.
What's wrong with me, doctor? I have the antagonist.
I have antagonism.
Yes.
Well,
all right, I'm ready.
I actually do have that.
You're my villain.
All right, top five movie villains. Here we go.
Five, four, three, two, one.
And here we go.
Now, last month you went first.
So it's your turn.
We did romantic comedies.
I'm surprised you remembered. Yes.
I'll go first.
Give me your number five movie villain.
I found out when we did romantic comedies, I found out that you really haven't seen a lot of shit.
No, I haven't.
To be honest.
These are hard for me. I'm not an expert in any of this
stuff. I don't know.
I'm making all this up as I go along.
I don't know if you've seen all of mine.
Okay, probably not.
You probably heard of them in pop culture, though.
I've heard in the pop culture news.
My number five is a character who went by the name of Alex Forrest.
Okay.
It's a female portrayed by Glenn Close.
All right.
From 1987's Fatal Attraction.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yes, I've seen that.
So Michael Douglas.
Oh, she's crazy.
Hey, she is nuts, brother. So Michael Douglas plays Dan in the movie.
Okay.
And like I said, she plays Alex.
Okay.
And they have an affair. And by affair, I mean a one-night stand.
Okay, just a one-night stand. No big deal. It happens.
One time.
Two people meet each other and they just,
But guess what, brother?
Tell me what happened.
She will not let go, for lack of a better way to put it. And I got a little bit of the brief review I wrote of it when I did that top 10.
Okay.
And just so everyone knows, Alex Forrest was my number six in 2010. She's my number five as we sit here today.
She's moved up.
I think since I've gotten married again. So listen to what I say.
Now that you're married, you realize wow, these girls are crazy.
So listen to what I say in my little review here. I say, are you considering cheating on your husband or wife and it's tearing you apart? I have the solution to your problem. Watch Fatal Attraction. This movie is the perfect deterrent for infidelity.
You think so?
And then I go down and I say, if you've seen this, then you're having flashbacks right now. If you haven't seen it, go see it right away. It could save your marriage.
Aw.
So
you are romantic.
You got, remember the bunny on the stove? The pet bunny that she cooked?
She cooks a pet bunny?
Yeah, she boils the daughter's bunny.
Dude, that's crazy.
She kidnaps the little girl and takes her to the amusement park. And drops her off at the front. I mean, she snaps, brother. She's got mental problems. And she's the other woman in this movie.
And she does
movie.
Such a good job.
She wants to be the actress. Other woman.
Yeah.
And Dan shows up at her apartment. You know, this is before, we got to remember too, this is in the 80s. So this is before cell social
phones.
Media.
No text,
this
no cell
is before
phones.
Text, which thank God for Dan's sake.
Yeah.
That phone would have gotten found, brother. But, you know, so she shows up at her apartment.
Yeah.
He's like, look, you got to knock this shit off. Like, you know, my wife's answering the phone. You're taking my kid from school. I mean, like, what the hell's wrong with you? We're not going to be together. And I don't know if you remember that scene where she gets the butcher knife and she starts digging it into her leg. Do you remember that? And she cuts through her dress and it starts bleeding as he's talking to her.
So what can I get you? I've got scotch. I've got vodka. I should be in the
cut this shit, will you? Just cut it.
I don't know what you're up to, but I'm going to tell you it's going to stop right now.
No, it's not going to stop. It's going to go on and on until you face up to your responsibilities.
What responsibilities?
I'm pregnant. I'm going to have our child.
Alex, that's your choice, honey. That has nothing to do with me.
I just want to be a part of your life.
Oh, this is the way you do it, huh? Showing up at my apartment?
Well, what am I supposed to do? You won't answer my calls. You change your number. I mean, I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
And you're just like, bro, get the fuck out of that apartment, dude. Plus, it's Michael Douglas, so he's a gem. You don't want anything to happen to Michael Douglas.
No, not Michael Douglas.
But this is the last thing I'll say about it. It was really cool. I watched the Golden Globes last month.
Okay.
And there was a really cool moment where she won. She's in a movie this year called The Wife, Glenn Close.
Okay.
And she won Best Actress.
Okay.
And as she gets up to go accept the award, Michael Douglas is right there at the table next to her. And they like hug. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, run, Michael Douglas. She's going to fucking stab you.
Oh, goodness.
Alex is back.
Yes.
I'm not going to be ignored.
It's just a movie, Gerald.
Okay.
It's just a movie.
I just live in that. I live there sometimes, brother.
That's beautiful. Right, that's great. I like that because it shows that a villain can be real.
Yeah, man.
Like, this is a real, like, this is a woman.
Of course. I mean, love
snapped.
Affairs happen all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a woman who snapped. I mean, this, you know, it's really good. It's really, you did a good job. Well done.
Alex Forrest from Fatal Attraction is my number five.
Well done.
Andy, you ready, man? I'm going to jot yours down.
Number five
here,
takes me back. Number five is this character is just the sleaziest, darkest, I mean, just dirty. This character is so dirty and it's so well done. It's played by the late, is it Alan Rickman?
Yeah.
They're played by the late Alan Rickman.
That's who I think you're
right. We're talking about the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Oh, okay.
From Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. What was that, early 90s, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
I want to say it may have even been 80s.
So it's a very, very dark movie. It takes place in the Middle Ages, of course, and it has a lot of darkness and dirt to it. And Alan Rickman portrays the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah,
and he is just so sleazy. You know, he's the sheriff. He's taken over the area in England. And, you know, he's having sex with all these women. He's making them have sex with him. And he's just, you know, he's stealing money from the poor, taking as much money as possible. You know, he has that iconic line, "I will cut your heart out with the spoon." Mm-hmm. Well, why a spoon, cousin? Because it's dull. It'll hurt more.
Yeah.
You know, and just this, the way he does it is just so sleazy. He comes up with this scheme. He has this old woman he's working with, he's like this pagan kind of witch character. You know, it's kind of that classic Christianity versus the pagans. And so he comes up with this scheme to marry him, and then, of course, conceive a baby right away to keep his bloodline or to make him king, because Maid Marian is the king's cousin. Mm-hmm. So I just think Alan Rickman just does such a great job. I looked back at some of the scenes from the movie, and he is just so dark and sleazy, mm-hmm. and just does such a good job.
He's good, man.
Keep the stitches small.
That's good, man. He is good.
I love Alan
Rickman.
He's just so good.
Rest
in peace.
Rest in peace. Yeah, of course he's done other things, but he's kind of like a career villain too, man.
He is. He plays.
I don't want to give any away. Because one particular one that I thought you were going to mention got a ton of shout-outs online. It's not on my list, but it got a ton of shout-outs online. But, I mean, he just plays the villain so well.
He does good.
Now, I never got into the Harry Potter films. I don't know if you're going to mention.
Snape.
So he was.
I didn't put Snape.
Was he a villain in that, though?
Oh, Snape.
Is that a villain? I don't know Harry Potter.
Now, that pushes the boundaries of what a villain is, because it transitions and you find out that he never was a villain.
So it's kind of like a Killmonger situation that we talked about in the superhero.
Exactly. So, I mean, Robin Hood is one of those movies I watched growing up a lot with my family.
Yeah, Kevin Costner.
Yeah, I just watched my mom loved Kevin Costner, so we watched that a lot.
How about that Bryan Adams song?
Really? Yes.
Everything I do, I do it for you.
Robin of the Hood, Prince of Thieves. Is he capable of love? But Alan Rickman, Sheriff of Nottingham.
Love it.
I think he does a great job. It's sleaze. That's what I'm going to use the word. He's just sleazy.
Yeah, no, I love it, man.
And dirty.
That's a good pick, brother. And I actually got a couple of shots. I want to say our friend Michael actually mentioned that. We'll look at the fan feedback later.
I think,
just in general, and of course, that one was portrayed by Alan Rickman, which is probably the best villainous version of that character. But the Sheriff of Nottingham in folklore is a villain.
That's a great villain.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, you know, the sheriff's cousin asks him, you know, why a spoon, cousin? Because it's dull, it'll hurt more. And then they're having a conversation. And of course, the Sheriff of Nottingham, Alan Rickman, gets pissed off, stabs him with a sword. The sheriff's cousin falls down, and then he says, "At least it wasn't a spoon."
Exactly. I remember. And you mentioned that you relived that scene with me once before, too, when he came up. When he passed away, I think.
At least it wasn't a spoon.
So rest in peace, Alan Rickman. A great career villain there. I agree with you. So Sheriff of Nottingham is your number five?
Yes, that's my number five. I just like this. That's good stuff.
All right, brother.
So my number four is going to come
from the catalog from my favorite filmmaker, probably my favorite filmmaker, definitely my one or two.
Okay.
Quentin Tarantino.
I know exactly what you're going to talk about.
We all love him.
Yeah.
You might not, actually, because there's a lot of villains in his repertoire.
Oh, so, interesting. Interessante.
I don't know if you've seen this movie.
Oh, never mind then.
I know
that I have a Quentin Tarantino honorable mention.
Maybe you've seen it.
I have a Quentin Tarantino honorable mention.
So, from 2009,
okay.
Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, I've never seen Inglourious
Basterds.
Okay,
I was going to say. And is portrayed by Christoph Waltz, Colonel Hans Landa.
I like the name.
Hans Landa or Hans Landa, however you want to say it.
Hans Landa.
But Colonel Hans is, I know you haven't seen this. I'll just give you a quick wrap up of why he's so kind of evil.
Okay.
Again, real life scenario. So this takes place during World War II, and he's referred to in the film as the Jew killer, if that gives you any idea.
Yeah.
So his kind of shtick is that he searches out Jews to have them killed. And he has a knack for being able to find where they're hiding. And the opening scene to this film, bro, the first 5 minutes of this movie, is him making his way into a local's home where he's hiding Jews under the house, under the floorboards. You know, back then, it was, you know, under the house was just literally 2x4s.
Yeah.
And they're under there being super, super quiet so they're not found. And there's like 4 or 5 of them. It's a whole family that this guy took in so they wouldn't be killed.
Yeah.
And Colonel Hans Landa's there asking this homeowner all these questions. And he asks for a glass of milk, and he's sipping the milk very ominously.
Oh.
And you know, as the viewer, that he knows there's some Jews there. Do you know what I mean? And the homeowner's trying to, of course, elude him and get him out of the house and, like, basically lying to him the whole time. Uh-huh. And I don't want to give it away for you. But anyway, they're found, and there's one of the Jews that ends up escaping, that gets out of that situation, and then she comes back around to that character later, and she has a huge role, and we find out that she's the one that escaped in the opening scene, and it kind of comes back around and connects.
Oh.
But he won the Academy Award for this. He won Best Supporting Actor for this, which I also love because, you know, I'd have to look back on IMDb and stuff, but I feel like villainous roles don't get a ton of wins.
Yeah.
They might get nominated.
Yeah.
There's one more that's actually an Oscar winner on my list, too. But generally speaking, they don't win. They might get nominated for it, but people just kind of frown at kind of awarding the Jew killer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, he just...
But his portrayal, I mean, it's hard to portray...
It's a portrayal,
enemy, right. Someone that you're supposed to not like.
And I'm going
to
go on record right now, brother,
that
Inglourious Basterds is my favorite Quentin Tarantino film.
Really?
As a work of art from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction is a very, very, very close number two. But you got to see it. I can let you borrow that one, too.
I have it.
Oh, you do?
I have your version of it. I have your copy.
Okay. Yeah, you got to see it, man.
I haven't watched it yet.
You got to see it, man. Yeah. It is so good, and it's Tarantino at his best. I mean, Kill Bill is amazing if you put those two films together. Yeah. Pulp Fiction is really kind of what blew... I know Reservoir Dogs was his first movie, but, you know, Pulp Fiction's when the world was introduced to him.
Yeah.
So I get it, but if just for the piece of work that it is, I mean, Brad Pitt's amazing.
Brad Pitt's always amazing.
Michael Fassbender's awesome in this movie. We already talked about Christoph Waltz, who plays just the perfect villain in this film. And it's awesome, man. Right. It's really good. The young lady in the film that ends up kind of being the hero, really, in the film is played by Melanie Laurent. And I feel like she's a French actress that Tarantino recruited to be in this movie because of she kind of fit like what was happening in the film as far as heritage is concerned. So it's awesome, man. You got to see it. Inglourious Basterds from 2009. And Colonel Hans Landa is my number 4.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You didn't know where I was going to go with Tarantino.
I had no idea. You're blowing my mind already.
You know, Tarantino,
you're blowing my mind
already. We could probably do a top 5 Tarantino villains, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do top 5 Tarantino characters with our buddy over at Epic Film Guys. He wants to do that one, so... Colonel Hans Landa might get another mention. We'll see. But anyway, that's my number 4, man. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Can I go first? I went first. You're my number four.
Yeah. So my number 4 is this is my first superhero villain.
Okay.
And I have a couple of superhero villains that fall into this category. I love a villain that you're almost sympathetic to. I love a villain that doesn't consider himself a villain, or in this case, takes on the role of a villain, or he actually says it in the movie, or a madman, because that's what the universe needs. My number 4 is Thanos.
Okay.
Not just from Infinity Wars, from like all the Marvel movies are building up to this guy named Thanos.
Sure.
Who has decided that the universe is out of balance. There's only a certain number of materials, only a certain number of goods or of things in the universe to use. And there's a growing population of beings who are using those things. So it starts on his home planet of Titan. He says, he comes to the council or to the leaders on Titan and says, we should just kill randomly execute half the people on the planet. He says, I'm included in this random drawing for the progress and for the assurance of the quality of life of our people. He's saying, let's sacrifice for the people. So they consider him a madman. They throw him out. So he starts going around, gaining power, gaining this army, going from planet to planet and doing that.
Right.
And in one conversation he's having with his so-called, quote, daughter, who he raised to be this kind of killing machine, he says, well, when I found you on your planet, you were scraping food. Mm-hmm. No, like your planet was doing terrible. Now they're prospering because of me.
Wow.
And she goes, what are you going to do if you, because he's collecting the Infinity Stones. Once he has all the stones, he can snap his finger and half of the universe will disappear.
Right.
And he says, what will you do if you succeed? He says, I will go sit, rest, and watch the sunrise on a thankful universe.
And that's what he does at the end of the
yes.
movie.
Yes. Now,
Endgame's coming. Yes. So we don't know.
So Alan Rickman, it was one of my character-driven performances.
Sure. Like,
yeah. Alan Rickman just did a great job. And of course, Jennifer Nottingham's classic. Thanos, the actor, did a great job.
Josh Brolin.
But the character of Thanos, the idea of Thanos, I just am in love with. I love a villain
who something?
Gets you thinking. A villain who makes you question right. what morality right. actually is.
Right. What's Thanos right? What's wrong? Right. Yeah. Can I tell you, we talked about this in our top five movies of the year. Because it got named on one of my guests' lists.
I loved Infinity War.
Infinity War,
wonderful.
Yeah. And
my top superhero.
And it was. And I said, you know, what does it say about me that I kind of connect with Thanos? Like, let's get rid of half the fight. There's three fucking people on this
every
planet.
Day. You look out your window and say, you know what? He's probably right.
You're right, buddy. Let's just
painless,
fucking kill him.
Painless, but you then, just wouldn't exist.
But then my friend Wesley that was on that episode said, yeah, but then you want to be selected. So you want to be selective about who goes. So then you're kind of entertaining
genocide a little bit. And Thanos is saying no. Thanos is saying no. We're not going
to
be selected,
right,
because that would make it an immoral choice.
Right.
He is claiming that the morality is that it's random.
Right.
So here's the thing. In the end, I'll spoil it anyway. At the end of Infinity War,
nobody listening to the show has not seen Infinity War.
When he snaps his finger, here's the thing. He could have disappeared.
Right.
No one realizes that.
Right.
When Thanos snaps his finger, there's a 50-50% chance that he will disappear.
Now, are you disappointed?
Bam!
Did you see the latest trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home?
No, I didn't.
So there's a new trailer because it's coming out this summer. And are you just, I mean, because he's alive. Spider-Man.
They shouldn't have done that.
That's what I'm saying. So
Marvel.
At least wait till Endgame, right?
The best thing about the Marvel Universe thus far is they've taken their time and they've really laid out this thing. Now they're coming out with a Captain Marvel Endgame and that right away. Dude, you got to be patient. You cannot release a trailer for a movie of a character we don't know is surviving yet.
I was disappointed by that,
too. Yeah, you can't do that to Marvel.
I was disappointed by that,
too. You can't do that. They're just trying.
At a minimum, wait till Endgame and put the trailer in front of Endgame.
Yeah.
At a minimum. Because then, you know, it'll come out the same weekend or whatever.
But of course we realize that some of these very popular characters are going to be alive. But I mean, dude, come on. You can't like as
I don't know. I
here's the choice. Which one comes first? Blockbuster money, the amount of money and the amount of tickets you want to sell, or the quality of your story?
And Marvel's done a great job.
At this point, that decision puts the money and the ticket sales ahead of the quality of the story.
Yeah, I can see that.
But Thanos is, to get back on track, Thanos is my number four because I like. And if we had done TV, I would have done Kingpin from Daredevil.
Sure.
Another he villain in, that you
he
sympathize
was
a, with.
He was the main villain in Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Kingpin.
Yeah. And that's another villain that you sympathize with, that you say, you know what? I understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't agree with it, but I can see where you're going.
Yeah, kill
so
me.
Thanos.
Sure, kill
Thanos.
Me. No problem.
Snap your fingers, Thanos. That's my number four.
Whatever you need, Thanos. Yeah.
That's my number four, homie.
Josh Brolin, Thanos from Infinity War and soon to be Endgame. Endgame will actually be coming out a few weeks after this episode's released.
Yeah. So people, we'll I just got
are
people
you gonna see that
up.
In the theater?
Marvel should give me a little cut because I just got people pumped up.
Are you gonna see that in the theater?
Of course.
Let's go see it together.
Marvel movies, our Avenger movies, our Marvel movies, and Star Wars movies, all the movies I
if
have.
If you're down, meet me in Alamo. Let's go see it together.
What?
We should check it out.
Gonna cold soda pop and see
talking about it, talk about it. Well, you get a soda pop, I'll get several brewskis. cheese fries and brewskis. Yeah. That's what I do, man. All right. That's why I'm fat. Okay.
All right.
We got into that again. My New Year's resolution was to stay fat. So far, so good.
I met a girl the other day. Her New Year's resolution was to start smoking again. It was wonderful.
That's been the best. Well, did she accomplish it?
Yeah, she's doing a great job.
Nice. All right, so my number three is a classic, brother. Definitely one. Actually, my top three, you've seen all of them, so we can have a great discussion about them. Maybe some crossover on one of them for sure. One of them. Maybe
you don't know me. You think you know
I'm
me?
I'm almost positive.
You think you know me?
But anyway, my number three to get us started goes all the way back to 1939.
Get out of
1939.
So, but you were probably, 8 years old at the time?
I was born about 10 years prior to that, so I was 10.
You've seen a movie from 1939?
I have, and so have you. You ready? Huh. The Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz is my number
I'll get you, my three. Pretty. And your little dog, too.
Give me back my slippers. I'm the only one that knows how to use them. They're no use to you. Give them back to me. Give them back. Keep tight inside of them. Their magic must be very powerful, or she wouldn't want them so badly.
You stay out of this, Glinda, or I'll fix you as well.
Oh, rubbish. You have no power here. Be gone before somebody drops the house on you too.
Very well. I'll bide my time. And as for you, my fine lady, it's true, I can't attend you here and now as I'd like. But just try to stay out of my way. Just try. I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too.
Now, look, man. In
Wicked Witch, I'm surprised at this one for you.
It's funny that you were just talking about Infinity War, because that's a perfect example. In today's day and age, it's all CGI. It's all graphics.
Yeah.
Computer animation. Of course, there's
actors. Back then, it wasn't even color. This was the first color movie.
Of course, there's actors involved. Yeah. But they're on a green screen. They're doing the whole thing or whatever, right?
Yeah, you can make up your... you can CG your way into anything.
Yeah, absolutely. So, The Wizard of Oz, man. You have to kind of...
That's from 1939?
That was when it was originally released. And then it was re-released 5 years later when they did where it switches to color. Remember when she gets to Oz and switches to color? So they re-released it when they were able to do that print. So it came out originally in 1939, and then it came out again with a color portion like 3 or 4 years later.
Oh, so in 1939, it was all black and white.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Yeah. Of course, I wasn't really around then, so, but that's my understanding.
Okay.
But yeah, you already mentioned I'll Get You, My Pretty, and Your Little Dog, too.
Yeah. Iconic.
Margaret Hamilton was the actress here, and what I wanted to say is that if there was a Wizard of Oz movie done today, which I'm sure there will be at some point, and they did The Great and Powerful Oz a few years ago, it's going to be a piece of shit, brother. Because in 1939, they had to do practical effects.
Yeah.
They had to have an actor or an actress do the best they could with the villain, with the role. You know, they had the little puff of smoke, you know, and the fire. But I mean, that's not CGI. That's somebody lighting something on fire. Do you know what I mean? But Margaret Hamilton as the Wicked Witch just set fear into the hearts of children.
Yeah.
You know, and this is in the 30s and 40s, brother. So you have to transport yourself back then. Of course, there's no internet. No, very few people have television. I mean, you're going out to the theater and you're seeing these reels in the theater. And this was the first, like, what would be considered kind of groundbreaking theatrical release.
Yeah.
And it still lives on today. What are we talking, 75 years?
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, it's insane, brother. So, you know, people might hate on the pick, but the Wicked Witch of the West, in my opinion, was the first like cinematic villain.
Okay, I could dig that.
You know, that was also charismatic at the same time. Like, you know, there's been a, you've seen on my wall over here.
Wicked.
There's been a musical spinoff that's a fucking national, worldwide phenomenon. Yeah,
trying
phenomenon.
To get into the character, of course, it's based on
like
the book
a prequel,
Wicked,
right.
Trying to get into why she's wicked.
But there's
once
many,
again, breaking down the thing of what a villain actually is.
Yeah,
what,
sure. Yeah. But I mean, you know, over 75 years, this movie has lived on. You know, I show it to my kids. My new kid will see it at some point when he's old enough. I mean, it's going to live on forever as one of those movies that's just handed down by generations.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that Avengers won't be, but I mean, the Wizard of Oz is, yeah, it gets handed down.
Yeah.
You have kids, it comes on TBS, you watch it.
Yeah.
You know, you guys got to see this, you know. And it was a marvel then, and it's still a marvel now.
Interesting that it holds up.
Which is amazing. If you think about what they had to work with back then. And all the characters from Wizard of Oz, I mean, we're talking about Wicked Witch.
Yeah.
But they're all just infamous.
Yes.
I mean, Dorothy
Glinda.
The Cowardly Lion.
Exactly.
The Scarecrow. I mean,
the Lollipop Guild.
The Tin Man.
Who doesn't want to be in the Lollipop Guild?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. I mean, this movie.
The Flying Monkeys.
The Flying Monkeys. This movie has lived on, will continue to live on. Wicked Witch of the West, in my opinion, is the first cinematic villain that really just scared people at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a version of a lot of these characters that we're talking about that they were able to do in the
30s. That's true,
because
back then you had a lot of bad guys, but you're right. This was the first villain.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Had a different kind of dimension.
You know, comic book movies weren't
exactly.
a thing yet.
Exactly. Yeah, man.
I mean, comics
were
barely a thing.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick, bro.
That's my number three, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you think, man? What do you have for
number,
number three?
I am super stoked about number three. Now, this is, once again, it's a great character, but it's actor-driven.
Okay.
This villain is so actor-driven, and you just, I mean, talk about just an evil guy, and but for good reasons. Not for good reasons, but for selfish reasons. One of my favorite movies of all time is the movie Gladiator. My favorite, my number three villain is Emperor Claudius. No, Commodus. Commodus? I get the names mixed up. Emperor Commodus, portrayed by Joaquin Phoenix. Now, in this movie, of course, you're following the hero, the gladiator, you know,
Russell Crowe.
He starts out as the commander of this huge army. You know, his Commodus kills his father, Marcus Aurelius, because Marcus tells him, I'm not going to make you emperor. I'm dying. I'm going to make, you know, Russell Crowe the emperor, just so that he can make Rome a republic again.
Mm-hmm.
And in an embrace, you know, Joaquin says, you know, I was never enough for you. You sent me the five cardinal virtues, but I have different virtues, ambition, love for my family. In an embrace, he chokes his father to death, invites Russell Crowe in and says, our father has died. I give you my hand once. And Russell walks away and bam. The action started. Joaquin has his family burned and then takes over the empire. And it's all about Russell Crowe coming back to face him. But just here's the thing. I don't know if it's just makeup. I don't know if it's just the way he portrayed it, but the darkness under his eyes, the pain and fear. Yeah. You can tell that Commodus is afraid the entire movie. Because he actually has a line to Russell Crowe. He says, do you think I'm afraid of you? And Russell says, I think you've been afraid your entire life.
Yeah.
They call for you. The general who became a slave. The slave who became a gladiator. The gladiator who defied an emperor. A striking story. Now that people want to know how the story ends, only a famous death will do. And what could be more glorious than to challenge the Emperor himself in the great arena.
You would fight me?
Why not? Do you think I'm afraid?
I think you've been afraid all your life.
Yeah.
And just this, Commodus is sick. I don't talk about physically sick. He's mentally sick.
It's a character piece.
He's lost in this egotistical. He loves his sister, wants to, you know, make a child of what he calls pure blood with the sister.
Right, right.
But he's got this sick infatuation with ego and being in charge.
That's what I call Game of Thrones style, brother.
Exactly.
It's Game of Thrones
style. But I mean, I just think Joaquin Phoenix, I mean, he's an emperor, so it's hard for us to walk in his shoes. But he's also every man and every woman. I mean, our egotistical sickness, this mentality
of... The reveal in Gladiator when Commodus learns that the Spaniard that's been defeating everyone is Maximus.
Take off your mask, show me your face, Gladiator.
He says, how dare you show your back to me, slave? You will remove your helmet and tell me your name. And he takes his helmet off.
Yes. He says, I am Maximus something. Yes.
Or whatever, yeah.
Commander of the armies of the North, something of the Felix Legions, husband to a murdered wife, father to a murdered son, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
And then he says, tells the guards to take
it. And you can see just in his face.
Yeah.
But I just think Joaquin Phoenix just does an amazing job.
He's a great actor, man.
So Emperor Commodus is my number three villain.
He's a great actor, man. That's a good one. I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I got to be honest, but that is a great one. That's a good pick. I'm actually kind of disappointed I didn't put that in my top 10 now that I'm looking at my
Joaquin Phoenix is I had to be reminded when I started looking up, I started thinking of great villains, like Commodus.
All right, man. Emperor Commodus, portrayed by Joaquin Phoenix, is Andy's number three.
Nice.
All right. Here we go. You ready? Let's have our discussion now.
Top two. Now,
let's have our discussion now. My number two.
I'm going to put this out there. Our top two might be the same.
They are.
One and two.
Well,
no,
maybe.
I think maybe our one and two might be the same.
All right. My number two. Here is this might trail off on a little bit of a discussion because I know you're going to get into it, which is great. I want you to. You know more about it than I do. But my number two is showed on film, if we're counting a recent installment a couple years ago, cinematically four times in its full character. And I'm talking about Darth Vader.
Ding, 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 ding. That's my number two.
Is it?
We have matched on Darth Vader. Darth Vader.
And probably number one. So, Darth Vader. Now, I'm not talking about Anakin from the prequels, although I know that molds him into what I'm talking about.
And that backstory is a part of the reason Vader is such a great character, but not initially what makes him great to the audience.
But why I put it on my list was literally for what I recall from the original trilogy and then also what I just fell in love with in Rogue One.
Let's talk about the first time we see him. So, we're talking about Star Wars, A New Hope.
New Hope.
Now, the ship is being followed. It's being blasted on. They board the ship. The stormtroopers come in, shooting, knocking them down. And then there's this cloud of smoke and the audience and the world is introduced to this black figure coming in.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Big and tall. Mm-hmm. And there he is. Vader.
Right. And the maliciousness kind of behind his whole arc is what drives him. Yeah. And I'm going to talk about another villain from Star Wars later, too, that I also absolutely adore. It's in my top 10. But I'm a villain guy, man, and this is the villain, you know? Now, what
this
I will
say...
This is
the villain of my youth. Darth Vader is the epitome of darkness.
Now, what I want to say, this is a perfect example of what you were talking about earlier. Because for me, Darth Vader is a great villain more for the lore attached to it.
Yes.
My number one is a great villain because of the actor's portrayal of it.
Exactly.
And how he brought it to life on
Vader
screen.
Vader is it. Now, of course, James Earl Jones' voice...
He does great, yep.
But after that first scene... Then he's lifting one of the rogues up, one of the rebels up by his throat, choking him, saying, tell me what I want to know. And he kills him. And then he says, search the ship. Bring me the survivors. I want them alive because I want to torture each and every one of them. But and the way the character evolved, it starts with simplicity. Darth Vader is a very simple, dark character. He's powerful, and he respects this energy he has. And also in the first, you know, the Death Star's been built, and they're having that iconic conversation where the guy who designed the Death Star says, this is the ultimate power in the universe. Mm-hmm. And Vader says, calm down, homie.
Yeah.
Calm down. Yes, you built this thing, but the power to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, dude, don't get us with your mysterious ways, and bam, you see it. He starts choking him. Mm-hmm. Release him, Vader. But he's like, Vader respects the Force. He's a Jedi. He's a little dark Jedi. He's a Sith. He's a Force user.
Now, you know, we talk about Rogue One, which we've talked about on the show before, when Vader kind of makes his triumphant return to cinema.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being talked about, you know, but he's there.
And the thing was, he was always talked about. He was just lore.
And what was awesome Twisted about Rogue One, I mean, he was on screen for maybe 5 minutes throughout the whole movie.
Two scenes.
The whole movie. But what was awesome was that they took the lore that we knew of and the maliciousness that we knew of, the malice, but they updated it for the effects that we have today.
Yeah.
So, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, you know, as a young teen or whatever, you were still kind of scared of Darth Vader. You still knew he was a super bad guy. But it was practical effects. Yeah. I mean, they didn't have what they have today.
Empire Strikes Back, the fight between him and Luke, that's great. Luke comes in and Vader's just waiting for him.
It's amazing.
With the lightsaber showing. And then that fight, as Vader's fighting with one hand, he's throwing things at him with the Force. Mm-hmm. So you show the strength, but you're right. The strength is all in the lore, in the storytelling.
And he's, you know, he is...
But you're right. In Rogue One, he comes back and they show him like just crushing
that's
skulls.
That's what I'm saying. Because, you know, back in the 70s, 80s...
You couldn't do that.
He was what he was, but he wasn't a serial killer.
It basically,
you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't killing people.
Let's talk
screen,
about
that.
Let's talk about the brilliance of George Lucas. Vader was all storytelling.
Yeah.
He was all character.
Sure. Yeah.
Like this, he was just, and that's what made
especially
him so
when
iconic.
Especially when you see the prequels and you see kind of the birth of it. You know.
Now it's interesting. Like, I loved Vader in what we call the primary trilogy. I love Vader, but I love. I'm not going to get into the movies. I'm not going to get into the portrayal of the actor Hayden Christensen. I'm going to get into the character of Anakin Skywalker. I love.
Well, you love a
the
good backstory.
Fall of Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, you love a good backstory.
I love the Chosen One. All this power. Falls in love with this girl, realizes he cannot save the girl, gives himself to darkness for the same reason we give ourselves to darkness, control.
Yeah.
He wants control. So he's led into darkness by a gift of control. The Palpatine just, his whole life, Emperor Palpatine Darth Sidious is molding him, grooming him into Vader. Yeah, and then he falls, gets burnt, and he's and if you go into like the universe beyond just the movies, the stories, they talk about how his rage in that suit, his anger, how he focuses on his Force powers. I mean, he's just a brilliant character.
I mean, to this day, I still stand by. I know it came out a couple years ago. I still stand by that. That's my second favorite installment in the Star Wars universe.
Which one?
Rogue One.
Yeah, that's great.
My number one's Empire Strikes Back, always has been. Saw that as like 6 or 7 year old kid and just changed me. But Empire's always probably going to be my number one.
Yeah.
I would venture to say, I know they're still making them. But Rogue One, I mean, just because of Vader. I mean, honestly, if there was a stand, you know, they just did Solo, which I thought was a piece of shit, but I enjoyed it. But I mean, it wasn't a great movie.
Yeah,
but if they did a Vader movie, I mean,
I'm waiting for the Vader movie.
Fucking forget about it.
I'm waiting for the Vader movie.
That may be my number one, just because of the lore surrounding this villain is what, I mean, I know you love Star Wars for a ton of reasons.
Yeah.
But my number one reason that I go back to Star Wars every time is because of Vader. And even in the recent installments with Kylo Ren, that's an extension of Vader to me. I mean, he has pieces of his grandfather there that I see, you know, whether it's him looking at the helmet and talking to it or whatever. So I can still see Vader in the story.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he's still living on and having influence.
And in the original trilogy, we didn't even talk about the twist and the turn. I am your father.
Back then, no internet to spoil
it. Nowadays, that's become a cliche.
Of course.
But where did that cliche come from? that movie.
Yeah.
And the Luke Skywalker, I see good in you, I sense good in you, the Emperor choking him, and then Vader turning, destroying the Emperor,
sure,
falling down. And he says, you know, take my mask off, but you'll die. There's no stopping that now. I want to look at you with my own eyes.
Sure.
And then he takes his mask off, and he's this decrepit, old, pale thing.
Yeah.
Like, underneath that suit, he was just this,
sure,
vulnerable, well, dying man.
I thought this was going to be your number one, brother. I'm surprised, because, yes, you're obviously a huge Star Wars guy, so I'm glad
the reason it's not my number one is pure acting and delivery.
Same here.
Man who delivered, I guarantee, both are number one.
We'll get into it. Anything else you want to say about Vader? Are you good?
Darth Vader, and I think you're right, it shows the power of mythology, the power of lore, the power of storytelling. This character given to us by George Lucas within the cinematic universe is just, even beyond my number one, is the best villain of all time as far as characters are concerned.
Right. As far as infamy.
Darth Vader is the epitome of darkness. His storyline, what turns us dark, what turns anyone dark, power, corruption, control. Darth Vader's it for me.
Yeah, I agree, man.
Darth Vader's it
for me. I agree. All right, so the only thing we have left is our number one.
Our number one.
I think we match up.
Of course we match up.
We had
I didn't know we'd match up on one and two. But
I didn't either. I thought maybe, but I thought it'd be flip-flop. Yeah. So I'm excited because now we can just have a conversation about this guy.
And like I said, the only reason it's flip-flop is because this number one, the actor's delivery, just blew us all away.
Sure, and we'll get into that, I'm sure. But so number two was both of us was Darth Vader.
Vader.
So, real quick.
Okay.
And please, and I mean real quick, what's your favorite, your number one Star Wars movie? If you could only watch one right now, which one would it be?
I'm going to get so much flack for this.
Say it.
The Last Jedi.
Interesting.
The Last Jedi. I watched it again recently, and I don't care what you say. I don't care what I... Okay. Now, if critics... Hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up on Facebook. Yeah. Give me a phone call.
People will defend
that movie, what it teaches
people
you
hate, man.
About the Jedi, what it teaches you about the vulnerability of Luke Skywalker.
And my thing with that is, with the criticism...
Standalone. You could take that movie outside of the trilogies.
I agree.
Standalone, that's just a great movie.
And with
movie.
The criticism, in respect movie. To the criticism from, quote, fans, which to me, they really aren't, if you ask me.
Yeah.
What, don't you want to be surprised? I mean, don't you want to have a unique spin? Do you want to know everything that's going to happen?
There's a bunch of reasons, but the main reason they hate Last Jedi is because it didn't have the Vader moment. Mm-hmm. The Vader moment in Rogue One. We all want that. We want Luke to be badass, but from the very beginning, Luke says, I'm broken.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was a hero. I rebuilt the Jedi Temple, and I couldn't even keep my nephew from turning.
I'm tired.
And in a moment of my own hubris and ego, I raised my blade against him. I'm broken.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do for you.
I feel that.
Like, I'm a broken man. I can't do anything.
Yeah, I feel that every morning
I wake up. And the conversation he has with Yoda, like, failure. Like you did exactly what I told you to do. You passed on your learning. Your mastery, but yes, your failure. And failure's the greatest teacher.
All right, let's put Star Wars to bed for this episode. Okay. I'm sure we'll have plenty of more conversations in the future. Yeah. All right, so our number one. So I will, you want to say it at the same time? Think, are you that confident? I'll count down from three and we'll say it. Are you that confident that we have the same one?
I know it.
All right, so 3, 2, 1,
Joker.
The Joker. Yes, absolutely. Joker. Are we both naming the portrayal from
now you,
The Dark Knight?
I know, because I know you and I love you and I hold you in my heart so deeply. I know that Joker himself, the character, is one of your favorite.
And I'm going to talk about that.
Is your favorite villain of all time.
Absolutely.
But the reason Joker's on number one on my list is purely because of Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger's delivery of the Joker and the Dark Knight is, I can't even think of another word besides masterful.
Now listen, man, The Dark Knight.
Masterful.
We talked about this on our superhero episode because it was it your number one on superheroes? It was mine, and Michael
number
had
two.
It, and you had it too. Right? Michael had it at five. So all three of us named it. Now,
two or three, but I was on it. It's up there for me.
Oh yeah, because Infinity War was your one.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. So The Dark Knight versus the film, okay, is a just a game changer, a revolutionary superhero film.
Mm-hmm.
It, in my opinion, is the best superhero film to date from beginning to end.
And as far as what that actor, what that director was doing as far as making a dark movie, like he hit it with this
and
one.
And he made
one and three, good, but he hit it with this
he
one.
He made a crime thriller and Batman was in it.
Yeah.
And the Joker was in it. So it's a great, like you mentioned, it's a great standalone film. You know, everybody knows who Batman is, so you can watch it without missing anything.
Yeah.
But it's also a great piece into a trilogy. Mm-hmm. You know, Batman Begins and then Rises at the end. So the movie's amazing. I love, we talked about it on the superhero movies. It's awesome. Now,
who plays Gordon?
Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. Love Gary Oldman.
Awesome in it. You got Two-Face.
Great arc. Yeah, the actor played Two-Face is really, really good.
So
it's about, and it's a movie about heroes and villains.
Right.
What is a hero? what is a hero?
Right.
You know,
that's right. What the movie's about. And now to specifically talk about the Joker, because he's my number one, he's your number one. Now, I am also naming that my favorite portrayal of the Joker is Heath Ledger from 2008.
Okay.
This is a method acting that we've never seen before. I mean, he literally became the Joker in his life for 6 months. I mean, he was the Joker.
Insanity.
Chaos.
Gave himself over to not only insanity, but the beauty of insanity. Mm-hmm. The clarity of insanity.
He won a posthumous Oscar for this. He won the Best Supporting Actor for this. Mm-hmm. That was unheard of. The Academy in 2009 went to a maximum of 10 nominees as opposed to 5 because there was such a backlash that The Dark Knight did not get nominated for Best Picture that year. Mm-hmm. So the next year, they changed it to where they could nominate up to 10 so they could include movies like The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, Black Panther got nominated this year.
Interesting.
So this was a game-changing movie, brother, in cinema. And Heath Ledger had a lot to do with that because his performance was on a whole nother level. Now, the Joker as a figure and as a character in comic history, I just love because there's so much mystery around him. And that's the point in the DC comic.
Yeah, it's the whole point.
Inception is that we don't know what his backstory is.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, he tells different stories throughout the comic, and they actually does that in The Dark Knight, too. I don't know if you remember, but he says, I got these scars from, and he'll tell different stories. So you don't know, because he gives, in that movie alone, he gives, I want to say, 3 or 4 different origins as to how his face got cut.
And that's part of the mystery, and also the villainy, and what's scary about it is that you don't know.
You want to know how I got these scars? My father was a drinker and a fiend. And one night, he goes off crazier than usual. Mommy gets the kitchen knife to defend herself. He doesn't like that. Not one bit. So, me watching, he takes the knife to her, laughing while he does it. He turns to me and he says, "Why so serious?" Comes at me with the knife. "Why so serious?" He sticks the blade in my mouth. "Let's put a smile on that face." And why so serious?
Yeah, and one of my favorite one of my favorite quotes from The Dark Knight, but just in general from any comic book lore, is when Alfred says, "Some men just want to watch the world burn," because the Joker is that person.
Yes,
he literally wants to not necessarily instill chaos, but he wants to watch chaos happen around him.
And for a reason, this is one of the reasons I love the Joker so much, especially what Heath Ledger brought out, is that he doesn't want to just watch the world burn. He wants to prove that it's already burning.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to, his whole thing is that insanity has given me clarity. And I said it again. I said it, if you've listened to our comic book movie,
superhero movies,
I said it then as well. The conversation between the Joker and the Batman in the interrogation room illustrates that. He says, "You and I are beyond their constructed, thin, frail, fragile morality. They think they're more than just animals. They think they're civilized, but throw a little chaos at them and they become what they naturally are, animals, killers."
Great. So great, man.
He says, "You and I," he's talking to Batman here, he says, "You and I are above all that." He actually says, "Don't look at them, look at me. You and I need you. I don't want to kill you. I need you."
I know.
So he's proving, he's trying to prove that I'm going to show you. And like, he has a pile of money and he burns it. He doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about fame. He doesn't care about anything.
Exactly.
He just wants to prove that life is chaos.
Yeah, exactly. And he does a great job at doing that. And you can kind of see Batman even, who's like the picture of good, you know, going, "Wow, this guy's kind of onto something." And you mentioned it on the last episode with the superheroes, but when he was in the hospital and Two-Face is on his, you know, in the hospital bed and he's,
he takes the gun. He hands him the gun. Yeah. Two-Face takes the gun, puts it at Joker's head and says, "We're going to flip a coin. Heads, you live. Tails, you die." And Joker says, "Now we're talking."
And he puts a gun to his own head.
"Now we're talking."
Yeah. He says, "Fucking kill me, bro.
Kill me." He doesn't care.
Because he knows once he's gone, if that happens, that's chaos. You know, Harvey Dent just, you know, killed the Joker.
Oh, and it's just this, it's this manic genius that Heath Ledger shows, because Joker is not just crazy. He's a genius. He's like, he has this kind of level of thinking that no one else has because he's manic.
And he sets up that plan to have the showdown with Batman where he kills the lookalike, you know, the guy that's parading around as Batman. He takes him and puts him hostage and films it.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, one person a day is going to die until you come find me. You know, and he knows what he's doing, man. I mean,
he knows what people will do.
Batman has no choice. You know, I gotta face this guy, you know. But anyway, let's give a little shout out to Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson portrayed the Joker.
I loved that portrayal. When they first said they were going to come out with it again, Heath Ledger was going to do it. I was like, no, I don't want to watch that.
And a lot of people did. Yeah, and a lot of people did.
He was more of the kind of funny, comical insanity.
That's it.
This town needs an enema.
And the Jack Nicholson was great because he embodied what was kind of... it was like the Joker from the television program, but with a little hint of kind of darkness thrown in there.
New improved Joker products with that new ingredient. Smiley.
Yeah.
Now you're asking, how do I get these wonderful products? Chances are you've got them already, but he's killing people. Yeah. He's poisoning like thousands of people.
Right.
And he's laughing about it. And what Jack Nicholson did a brilliant job.
I mean, Jack Nicholson is one of the all-time great actors.
You wouldn't hit him in with glasses, would you? Matt Belfry.
You know, Michael Keaton is my Batman, but I tell you what, man. I mean, for so many different reasons, I also love Jack Nicholson's portrayal.
Oh, Jack. We can sit here and talk about how great
absolutely.
He was.
Absolutely.
He did a great job.
And Mark Hamill from Star Wars fame did it in the cartoon, Batman.
I like when Jack Nicholson burns the guy and then he gets, you know, he's talking to all the heads of the game, various crime gangs.
I do too. I love it.
He's talking about the various crime gangs and he says, you know, I'm in charge now. Grissom put me in charge. And they're like, you know, he goes, I'm going to give you some time to think it over. And one guy says, well, what if we say no? He goes, you know, no one wants a war. You know, we'll just shake hands. That's it. And then he burns them alive. And then everyone leaves and he starts talking to the court. He goes, maybe we should give him some time to think it
over. What do you think?
No?
Yeah.
Grease him now? You are a vicious bastard, and I'm glad you're dead.
Yeah.
But that shows that he does capture that insanity in a way that I don't think the world is ready for Heath Ledger yet.
Right.
But Jack Nicholson does capture that level of insanity.
You know, Heath Ledger, you got the sense that, you know, Jack Nicholson, you got the sense that was off the book as a comic book, off the pages of the comic book.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger, you got a sense that there was some deranged guy that cut his face up and started terrorizing people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like an actual anarchist.
Here's my
off
car.
The street. Do you know what I mean? So he reinvented it. Now, Joaquin Phoenix, who we talked about a minute ago, is going to be portraying the Joker this year, about 4 or 5 months after this episode airs.
In a origin flick? In a Joker movie?
Yeah, it's a Joker movie. Yeah, it's a standalone movie. So we'll have to
Joaquin's on my list. Now, Joaquin's a groovy guy.
Great. I mean, Heath Ledger wasn't known as an amazing actor took over the Joker.
Not at all.
He had some critical acclaim for like Brokeback Mountain and stuff like that, but he wasn't like... a powerhouse actor.
No.
Joaquin Phoenix is
considered
such. So. He's been nominated for several Academy Awards. He's won several awards. He's
Emperor Commodus.
We talked about
Emperor
Gladiator.
I mean, I want to say he won an award for that movie. I know Gladiator
I think
won,
he was nominated. I don't
Gladiator
know if he won,
won Best
but he was
Picture.
Nominated. Gladiator
but
won.
I know, like, that was one of those Ridley Scott, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
But yeah, so I'm interested to see what he does. I feel like if you're going to give it to an established actor, it's got to be decent.
We didn't
decent.
Talk about this great movie and this great scene in Gladiator where Joaquin Phoenix is sitting with his sister's son, his nephew. And he's just found out that his sister's betrayed him. He's like, oh, dear sister, come in. I was just reading to Lucius here. Mm-hmm. I was telling him about this story about Mark Anthony and about death and stuff. And he was, you know, this emperor was betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And the emperor said, he's talking to her. The emperor said that, you know, tell me what you've been doing, you busy bee, or I will kill those most close to you. You will watch as I bathe in their blood.
Wow.
And you're just like, shit.
You're like, that kid needs to get out of there, brother.
Yeah. And he's looking at his sister basically saying, tell me what you're doing, or I'm going to bathe in their blood.
Yeah, get out of there. Go hit the Wii U.
That's Commodus for you, man. Joaquin Phoenix. Just to say I'm interested to see what Joaquin does.
Me too, man. I'm interested to see it, but I
call him the Joaquin.
Obviously, I'm a little worried. But you got to remember back in 07 or so when they announced that Heath Ledger was going to do it, nobody was on board.
No.
Everybody's like, what the fuck is this? The guy from 10 Things I Hate About You is going to be the Joker?
Tale? A Knight's Tale?
A Knight's Tale is going to be the Joker? What the hell? And then he ends up winning the Academy Award for
it. You see him, you're like, oh. Yeah.
So we'll see what Joaquin does. So, all right. So you want to give, what's your honorable mentions, man?
Okay. I got a couple.
Wait a minute. Let's do a countdown. Let's do a recap.
I got to remember. I don't remember my name. Okay.
You may give it to you? A recap.
I can't remember it.
What's your recap? What was your top five?
Okay. My number five was the sheriff from Robin Hood. My number four was Thanos from all like the Marvel movies. My number three. Oh, now you got me thinking again. My number three was Emperor Commodus from the Gladiator. My number two was Darth Vader. My number one was the Joker.
Yep. And
specifically Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
And my top five was Alex Forrest from Fatal Attraction, portrayed by Glenn Close, Colonel Hans Landa from Inglourious Basterds, The Wicked Witch of the West, Darth Vader, and the Joker.
Nice. So, as soon as you started talking about number two, I knew that Joker, we were going to match up on Joker. I knew that we're going to match up on Vader. I didn't know we'd match up one and two.
I know, me neither. Yeah. I thought Vader would be your one, being that you're such a Star Wars
fan.
fanatic.
That's how great Joaquin did it. That's how good Heath Ledger did. He actually knocked my Vader off.
There it is, man.
You knocked my Vader off.
That's a sexual position.
You knocked my Vader off.
Can we knock Vader tonight?
Let me give you my honorable mentions.
What does that mean? Yeah, what are your honorable mentions?
Check out. You're going to like this one. One of my honorable mentions is Biff, Griff, and Mad Dog Tannen from the Back to the Future.
I love it.
He plays all three characters. He plays Biff.
I love it.
And he plays Biff as an old man. He plays Griff, which is Biff's like grandson. He plays Mad Dog Tannen, which is like his ancestor from the Old West. So this is from the Back to the Future. I just think he does such a great job as playing those guys. You just hate him.
Biff is on my honorable mentions.
You know, Biff is cool. So we match up there too. That's good. Yeah. Another one of mine is, this will probably be nobody's, but I just love it. From the Matrix, Smith.
Oh, Mr. Smith?
Smith.
Yeah, that got some mentions.
Yeah, Smith is an agent of the system who hates the system. I hate the zoo. I hate what the Matrix is. I hate my job. He gets killed by Neo in the first one, and then he goes rogue and starts basically going the Joker way and starts destroying everything. Mm-hmm. So I think his arc is just beautiful. And of course, who plays Smith? He's a famous actor. Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving, that's right.
Love him. My third honorable mention is from Pulp Fiction is the guy. Samuel Jackson.
Samuel Jackson is a villain? Really?
Dude.
I guess, yeah.
For that one scene alone, like, he is the ultimate badass.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is he a villain? Because you kind of pull for him.
Yes.
But you're right, though, because he's a hitman killing innocent people.
Are you kidding?
People.
Like, he's a bad, like, he comes in.
Bad motherfucker.
Like, I'll smoke a fool right now. Like, I don't care. Like, he comes in, and the way he sets up that room. No. Keep your seat. I'm sorry. Caught you having breakfast. Sorry about that.
All right.
We haven't. Burgers. I got one more.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You didn't make me. When you mentioned Fatal Attraction, this thing came up, and I'm like, I can't believe I didn't mention this lady. Have you ever seen the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah, sure.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson. Nurse Ratched.
Yes. That's a good one.
Hate Nurse
That's
Ratched.
A good one. Yeah.
Nurse Ratched, without even smiling or without even doing anything quote wrong. You just hate.
You're scared. Yeah, no, that's a good
one. Nurse Ratched.
Nurse Ratched showed up on some list I was looking at.
What's your mom gonna say?
That's a good one, man.
So this is my honorable. I could keep going and going and going. No, I love villains.
So I'll round out my top 10 for my honorable mentions. And you know, I limited it to one superhero villain, so that's why the Joker's in there, obviously. But I have four on my honorable mentions.
Okay.
Or no, three. I'm sorry. Okay. Three from
I'm excited. I'm excited.
So my number six would have been Doc Ock from Spider-Man 2.
Dude, yeah.
Dr.
Yeah.
Octopus. Yeah. I love
the actor who played that.
Alfred Molina.
Yeah, he did a good job.
I mean, just amazing. Yeah. I mean, the one scene alone that we talked about actually on superheroes of the tentacles killing everyone in the hospital when he wakes up is one of the greatest, in my opinion, superhero
and
scenes.
His conversation with the tentacles where he realized, because he says he puts a little protector on there so he doesn't, tentacles don't think for him. Mm-hmm. But he's like, you know, everything was going right until Spider-Man came in.
That's right.
So it's not my fault. I was going right. Yeah. So his conversation. Right.
His battle internally.
His relationship. Yeah, the battle.
And
the
then
battle.
My number seven would have been General Zod, who has been portrayed a couple different times, but I love Terrence Stamp's version of this character from the 80s, from the 78 Superman and from the 1980 Superman 2, which we also talked about on that show.
General Zod.
With General Zod. He's awesome. And then he was portrayed by Michael Shannon in the most recent installment, which Michael Shannon's a great actor, but I just didn't like what they did with Zod in that movie. So, Man of Steel. Kylo Ren would have been my number
Kylo
eight,
Ren.
Which, if
talk about an internal struggle, a man, check it out. A man trying to be a villain.
Yeah.
Trying his damnedest to be a villain.
Yeah. I mean, just so good, man. I mean, Adam Driver for me.
Adam Driver.
Such a good actor, dude. Just got nominated for BlacKkKlansman, actually, at this year's Academy Award. I don't think he'll win, but just a great actor.
His conversation in The Last Jedi, the conversations with, I think, from what I've heard, even the critics and the fans love the conversation between Rey and Kylo.
Oh, yeah.
But when he talks about, you know, but how could you, he says, say it. Talking about killing Han, say it. Mm-hmm. I'm a monster. Yes, I am. Say it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The way he does that's just beautiful.
It's great, man. It's a great story arc, and he's always kind of chasing that. You know what his grandfather was. He's kind of wants to be
great characters. I mean, Darth Sidious, Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, some of those get mentioned online too. It's just a great mythology that's been created.
Dude,
so many good villains come out of that universe.
Yeah.
Eric Killmonger would be my number nine. We talked about him a little bit on the superhero episode as well from Black Panther.
Okay. Now I know what you're talking about.
Portrayed by Michael B. Jordan. But again, this is similar to a couple that we've mentioned. It's just a real guy. Yeah. He just wants justice for his people. He's going about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
And innocent people are suffering.
But he wants justice for the world as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
He says, like, you are locked up in this hut in Africa. You have all this weaponry, all this technology, and you're sitting there on it.
I think
like we could be saving the world and you're not.
I think that Killmonger is the most relatable villain that Marvel has used. I know you mentioned Thanos, but I don't know. It's just
like on a man to man or on a woman to woman level. Like because Thanos is like a god.
It's like a spiritual kind of thing. And then my number 10, which you already mentioned, which I didn't think would get mentioned, which I'm very excited that you mentioned it, would be Biff from Back to the Future.
Biff!
Yeah.
Dude.
And he's just so and Griff, stupid. And
Mad Dog Tanner.
You could extend it. Yeah, sure. But I was going from the original film because it's one of my favorite of all
9 o'clock. I do my killing after breakfast.
What are you looking
8
at?
8 o'clock.
Butthead.
I do my killing before breakfast. Yeah. Yeah. And the manure. I hate manure.
I just love
and
it.
And Griff.
Man.
And
why don't you make like a tree and get out of here?
Just make like a tree and leave. You sound like an idiot when you don't get it. That's a conversation between him and him.
Oh,
talk about good, like good cinema and good acting.
Yeah.
Like when in the second one, when Biff, the old Biff, comes and sits in the car with him to give him the sports almanac.
Yeah.
You know, he says they're having a conversation with himself. Let's make like a tree and leave. You sound like an idiot when you get it wrong. Here's a great moment of Biff. He's walking down the street and these kids are throwing a ball and he catches the ball. And the kid's like, give me the ball back. Give me the ball back. It's what? You want this ball? You want this ball? Oh, you got this ball. Throws it on someone's roof and says, go and get it.
All right. Let's... let's go over to Facebook. So on the Facebook fan page,
all right,
this go around, we got some fan feedback. Suggestion box.
Let's open I got to open the suggestion box. Click, click.
What's in the box? Nah. I got to make that sound bite. So we just keep doing that in real time.
Okay.
All right. Somebody want to send that to me. Make that for me. I don't have time for it. All right. So let's see. Tony Dobbish, who's been a recent guest on our show.
Oh, cool.
Tony Dobbish came
on.
Tony. He came on and he did our the top five on-screen movie duos, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, but that was good.
Yeah, it was a good time. That one actually just came out, so check it out. But he's got Darth Vader.
Of course.
Of course.
Darth Vader's going to come up
he's
a
lot. He's got Anton from No Country for Old Men, which was great.
I just saw that movie recently, and I almost put him on there.
That's a good one.
Dude, he does a great
job. Hey, another villain that I want to say won the Oscar.
He
won the Oscar for that.
Great job.
Jack Torrance, which is Jack from The Shining.
Okay.
Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
The Joker, Heath Ledger, and Michael Myers. Now, let me say something. Don't say anything. Let me say something. Let me say something. Because there's a couple others on here that'll be shout outs to horror as well. I didn't include horror villains.
Okay.
I'm going to do that list later. And I knew you wouldn't have any horror villains because you don't watch horror movies.
No.
So
I'm surprised Michael Myers went on there for you.
I didn't do horror specifically. Right. Now, if horror villains had been on my list, this would have been four horror villains and the Joker. That probably would have been my list. So I decided to do a separate list probably in October for my horror villains.
Okay.
And I'll have a guest on that likes horror and we'll do that. So that's why, just so everyone knows that
just
I still love Michael Myers. I don't want him to hear this and come kill me.
You're wearing a Star Wars t-shirt and not your Halloween t-shirt today. So
I know. Justin, speaking of horror, he's a huge horror fan. He's from Epic Film Guys. Justin's got a bunch of good ones on here.
We didn't mention Hans Gruber. I did mention Alan Rickman.
You did, and that's where I thought you were going. That's where I thought you were going. So obviously from Die Hard.
Yeah.
He's got the Joker, but he likes Nicholson.
Oh, he does.
Nicholson is his favorite Joker on screen.
And Nicholson's wonderful. Come on.
He really is.
Nicholson's great.
And then I'll read through a few of these, which there are a lot of horror ones in here. But he's got Annie Wilkes from Misery.
Yikes. Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Also a great actress. I forgot her name, but wonderful actress.
Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Hey, well done, friend.
Norman Bates.
Mr. Anderson.
Norman Bates from Psycho.
Hi.
I agree with that. The Shark from Jaws.
Hey, the Shark.
The Wicked Witch of the West. Hey, there we go. Jason Voorhees, Pennywise, the Clown.
Okay.
And Bill the Butcher. And I said, you know, you named two of mine, but just in fairness, I want to let you know I'm doing horror villains at a different time because I didn't want him to, you know, look down on me that I didn't have any horror villains on here.
Yeah, that's right.
Brandon, a good friend of mine and actually a friend of the show as well. Listen, only one. He said his one villain is Hans Gruber. From Die Hard. Now, that's
intelligent.
True, man. That's true. Man.
Calculating, intelligent villain.
Now, you're going to like some of these. You ready?
Okay.
Palpatine.
Emperor Palpatine. Yeah.
The Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Hans Gruber, the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yeah.
And the Architect from The Matrix.
Woo!
Now, our friend, can you guess who named that list? Whose list that is?
No.
That's Michael Hill's list.
Michael hates The Matrix.
That's Michael. Well, maybe that's why.
Michael.
Because of The Architect.
Oh, goodness.
Well, he said The Architect. That's The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think.
The Architect,
because he's in Reloaded. He was the...
Oh, he's a great... That conversation, yeah.
And then the last one, our last couple I'll mention. Our friend Wesley from Via VHS said Jason Isaacs in anything. He was Lucius in the Harry Potter films. Malfoy.
Lucius.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Paul from The Countdown. This is the last few I'll mention here. He also went kind of horror crazy, which I appreciate. But he said... Hans Gruber, Darth Vader, Jason Voorhees, Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, and Thanos.
Ah, nice.
Those are his top five. So thank you, Paul, for the feedback there. By the way, I'll just give a quick shout out. Paul and Wayne from the Countdown just hit 200 episodes.
Well done. Well done.
Big, they're amazing friends and supporters of our show, yeah, too. And obviously, we're doing kind of a similar shtick, so it's cool that we're friends. And they, they do their thing over there in Australia, and they're killing it.
The Aussies.
So that's our top five movie villains, guys. Woo! Andy and I matched up on two, which I was expecting Darth Vader, but that was it. So I'm
you didn't think I put Heath Ledger's Joker on there?
I don't know. I knew you loved it, but I didn't know that was your villain shit. You know what I mean, brother?
Yeah.
But I'm glad you did. You want to give your final thought, man? What's your final thought for our villains episode?
Check it out. The villains are kind of underrated in our cinematic universe, and but the villains make heroes. Every hero needs a villain. Every villain needs a hero. There's this yin and yang going on, this positive and negative.
What was that?
So think about your life. Think about what's going on in your internal and external struggles. You are the villain of someone's life, and someone's the villain of your life. You have these dark points to you. So we learn from our heroes. We emulate them. But here's the thing. I want you to learn from your villains. I want you to learn from yourself. I want you to learn from the darkness of your own life and, you know, help your villain make you your hero.
That's it.
You know how that's it. That's
all right. As a little hero and a little villain in all of us, brother.
Exactly.
For me, it's more like an 80-20 split. But still, you never know. Andy, you're the man, dude. I love we get together. I appreciate it. What are we doing next month? You want to tell the peeps?
I've already forgot. We're doing something next month?
We're doing next month. We're doing their top five Disney films.
Top five. Animated. Specifically animated films.
Because you didn't want to get, because your mind would have exploded because Disney don't Star Wars.
Because now that Disney's making Star Wars movies.
That's right.
But here's what I do. Like,
you would have been Last Jedi, like Last Jedi, you, Last Jedi, Last Jedi.
Like you in you know, horror films, I wouldn't have included any Star Wars.
You would have had a separate.
Because I can't. It's a different genre.
And we already did top five Star Wars moments. But I was going to ask you, I mean, if we could do top five Star Wars characters, I feel like we'd have a ton of crossover, right? Because some of those characters are so iconic.
You're making my brain explode.
Do you want to do that sometime?
That's the way we should.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that. It would probably be a short F because it would probably be a lot of crossover.
Because it's also, I mean, you think about Star Wars.
Let's
there's
do
a lot
it
of
with,
material.
Let's do that one with the conjunction of the next release, episode 9.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
That's a lot of material because Emperor Palpatine, of course, is in, you know, the character played in the trilogy and the original trilogy. But there's also in the Clone Wars, the animated film, Emperor Palpatine is portrayed beautifully. Beautifully in that movie.
We're going to start pulling our topics from our fans' suggestions and ones that you and I have a deep enough pool to pull from, because there were some I was like, these are awesome, and you're like, yeah, but I've seen two movies that fall in that category. But Disney was one of the ones that was
I love Disney. So Disney animated films.
Our friend Drew Hallam recommended that. So we're going to do our top five
including including Disney Pixar crossovers.
It'll include Disney Pixar. So that'll be our April edition. Yeah. It'll be out next month.
Dude, I'm stoked, man.
Andy, you're the man, dude.
You're the man.
Thanks for being here. I'll see you soon.
And as I keep
come back.
Yes.
I'll see you soon.
All right. But after all I've said, please don't forget. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know the half of the abuse.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.